This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:38 on the evening edition. You are with Kelvin and Hisrael. And before we move on to our next story, before the 6:30 news, we were talking about GLCs and MPs, how so many of them have been given these seats. So we have this tweet here from Ahmad Zubair that says, "I think it's clear now that the next responsible government will need to table a law to ban the appointment of MPs to GLC chairmanship. They already have an important job to do, sit for parliament."
That's actually a good point. And it's not just sitting for parliament, Zubair. It's actually also going to, back to their constituencies, visiting people, people going for house visits. So there's a lot of things that they have to do. You know, I followed a few MPs around during elections and just going back to their own communities. And you're right, it's a lot. And it's also, I think, going to parliament is that needs to be addressed. I think in terms of how MPs treat it, in terms of debate and the kind of substantive discussions they have on the nitty gritty issues that need to be discussed.
Yeah, and I think that then you also need to look at beyond the, let's say you're really serious about appointing MPs into these positions, right? What else can serve as a track record? Have they served their constituency well? So if that's something we need to look at, right? If let's say they really want to put those MPs there, if they haven't done a good job there, that's perhaps a sign that you shouldn't be putting them in the position in the first place. You know, again, if only you're really serious. But the point is really not to put any MPs in those sorts of positions anyway.
Or, you know, who knows? Maybe there can be some credit system where, you know, certain MPs that do have experience in the private sector could qualify to be considered, you know, or maybe MPs who want to be appointed can be approved by select, you know, parliamentary committees. I think there are a lot of ways to address the issue, but, you know, I think it's just a matter of political willpower.
Yeah, or even letting go of that MP position and then taking up that GLC post. But you can send us your ideas. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, our next story, we're looking at how fake goods are hurting us. It is 6:40, well, almost 6:41. So this story comes from Channel News Asia, and it's not so much about counterfeit luxury products, but rather things like masks, medication, you know, the things like spare car parts. So the pandemic has given rise to fake masks. Recently, Interpol and enforcement agencies from 90 countries searched the internet for fake medical items. And in just 1 week, they found around 600 cases of counterfeit surgical masks sold online and seized 34,000 fake masks.
Yeah, so masks aren't the only thing being targeted. Even before the pandemic, we were already facing problems with fake medicine. According to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, consumers in Southeast Asia spend an estimated $520 million to $2.6 billion US dollars on falsified medicine, which range from anti-cancer treatments to drugs for infertility and weight loss. In Malaysia, these are usually sold in roadside stalls, traditional medicine halls, and provision shops. Very often people can't tell if they're buying something that's fake and could hurt their health.
Yeah, it's because that looks legit, right? And the forgery could actually happen in several ways, like only having partial amounts of the ingredients, or the drugs are mixed with dangerous and prohibited substances, or they just have nothing in them. And it turns out that according to GlaxoSmithKline, we are the only country so far where fake Panadol has been reported.
So the same article actually tells you that you can tell whether a mask is fake or not, and contains because fake masks contain plastic. So if you actually light it up, then it'll melt. So I don't know if, you know, I should be bringing around a lighter around with me when I'm going to the pharmacy to check if it's real. But on a more serious note, you know, I don't know what's throwing me off, whether it's the fear of buying a fake mask or the fact that people are still taking advantage of other people's lives in a time like this. So, you know, it's really making me question whether greed has bounds, and apparently it doesn't.
Yeah, sadly. But I think this also speaks to the fact that, well, even for these sorts of goods, especially if you buy them online, it's a lot on, sadly, on individual responsibility, which I think should be reduced significantly, right? We should have a lot more enforcement. We should have a lot more ways in which that even before it gets on the market, or any sort of e-commerce platform that can be checked, right? And if you do, you know, unfortunately get scammed, that there are mechanisms in place for you to get a refund or something else that could help resolve the situation. Because, you know, sure, you know, if the masks are fake, the health impact of it isn't perhaps as sudden or obvious. But if you were taking fake medication, for example, that could have severe, dire consequences.
But, you know, on that note, you'd think it'd be easier to actually tell the difference between what's fake and what's not. I mean, we have so many technologies at our disposal. There are QR codes, you know, barcode scanners. We can have databases with millions and millions of information for items, and I just can't wrap my head how there isn't some sort of streamlined system that governments should have come up with to actually track these fake goods, or at least be able to tell what's real, and then go from there.
Yeah, so after this, we're going to speak with Dr. Paul Selvaraj, the CEO of FOMCA, or the Federation of Malaysian Consumers Association. If you have any thoughts on this story, you can send them through. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Tell us, you know, have you accidentally bought something you found to be fake much later? How was that experience like? This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:47 on the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hezro, and we're looking at fake goods. So things like fake masks, fake medicines, which can hurt you directly and your health. So we're now going to cross over to Dr. Paul Selvaraj, CEO of FOMCA, or the Federation of Malaysian Consumers Association. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today. Have you heard many complaints about the sale of fake goods recently, especially with fake masks?
Yeah, we've always been receiving complaints about counterfeit goods. And during this COVID, of course, fake masks has become... there have been many complaints because it's now become very essential. And in some places, you cannot even enter the place without the masks. So the number of complaints, of course, have been increasing on fake masks, especially during this period. This caused a major concern to us.
What allows these counterfeit goods to make their way into the market?
Yeah, okay. There are two things. One is, of course, enforcement, especially on things like medication, on essential foods. We need, whether it's the Ministry of Health or the Ministry of Consumer Affairs, to constantly monitor goods. Now, this is especially in places like the smaller shops, Pasar Malam and all that, where very often these goods are sold openly. So the enforcement is crucial to monitor and take action against the sellers. The second is, of course, consumer education. I mean, consumers sometimes are not aware of the risks of taking this. Very often they go for the cheapest. They buy online because it's cheaper than others, but they're not aware of the risks. And specifically, for example, face masks, there are certain steps, for example, that people can do to check whether the thing is fake. It's not so easy, but this is where the authorities should educate and empower consumers to tell the difference between fakes and originals. I think that's not being done enough. So this is where, you know, when the market system is loose and consumers are not empowered, it makes sale of counterfeit goods easier. Of course, internet makes it much more easier compared to physical sale. So these are the issues that make counterfeit goods more readily available in the market.
So on that note about masks, how do I tell if I've bought a fake one?
No, I think the real you need the expert opinion. I mean, there have been some this one on the internet about checking on it and all that. But this is where a face mask, sometimes it's quite, quite technical. I mean, it's not something that a consumer can know unless he consults with somebody who's knowledgeable on the subject. Yeah. So this is where the problem is. That means you can be using a face mask that is not effective, and you know, you do not know that it's not effective. Yeah. So this is where, on products in which the consumer is not easily able to tell the difference, enforcement becomes crucial. Because then we expect the regulators, whether it's the Ministry of Health or KPDNKK, KPDNHEP, to be able to know the difference and take action at the point of source, rather than once it's sold and expect the consumer to know the difference.
Now, what process do health-related goods like face masks and medication have to go through in order to get approved for sale?
You see, there are two things. When it comes to medication, there are very strict rules. I mean, of what is original and what is sales. These are regulated by government. The Ministry of Health has their list of medication and things like that. And there are also means of checking. And this is where one of our concern is that, I mean, if you go to a pharmacy, they're supposed to have a device that you can tell the difference. But very often in many pharmacies, they do not have the device and people are not able to tell. But when people are not able to make the difference, then for a consumer, it becomes difficult to separate, you know. Whereas with a lot of other items, for example, face masks and most other items, when you call counterfeit, there is no control, there is no regulation, except for medicine. So this is where, consumers have to be aware and enforcement has to play a role. And again, our advice always, you know, whether it's online or whether it's physical buying, buy from what we call credible sellers. If you buy a shop that's not, you don't know, and then it's not, whether it's online, you don't know who the seller is, the product is sold through Facebook or something like that, then it's something of great concern, you know, because even if you find out it's false, if counterfeit, you may not be able to get any redress, yeah? But if you get something from established sellers with registered with the SSM, the Corporate Commission, then at least if there is an issue later, action can be taken. So in this age where, you know, sometimes the quality of what is visible is quite difficult to differentiate, sometimes you just have to rely on established and credible sellers rather than your own intuition to be able to tell the difference. Sometimes that's quite difficult.
So what is being done now to stem the sale of these goods both online and offline?
I think definitely more needs to be done. I think as far as online, offline is concerned, we need more checks. You know, I mean, especially some of these places, there are some locations where it's known, you know, you can get goods cheaply and all that. And not only is it a false product in the sense that it's not original, but sometimes some of these products can actually bring negative impact on your health. It can be a great risk to your health, you know. So we need enforcement. But when it comes to internet, this is a major issue because, like I told you, there is no way to regulate. So the burden comes on the consumer himself. And that's a challenge, huh? Because sometimes you don't even know who the seller is, where the seller is selling it from and things like that. And you have a problem, you don't know where to go for redressal. So especially for online sales, consumers really need to see whether they're buying from a credible source. Because once they buy something, and if it's false or whatever, even if it's a negative effect, redressal becomes difficult if it's, you know, one of those minor sellers or unknown sellers who are not registered with SSM and things like that, then redressal, getting consumer justice becomes a greater challenge. So this is where the twin role of enforcement as well as consumer empowerment becomes important. And my view is that we are not doing enough to educate consumers in this internet age. I mean, especially now, I mean, we know that online sales have just been booming. But how well have we prepared consumers to face this? And I think more needs to be done in terms of consumer education and consumer empowerment.
How does our price sensitivity fit into the picture?
That's the thing. Because, you see, many Malaysians, I mean, most of us anyway, go for what is cheaper. I mean, that would be common business name. But how reliable is a seller? That's the whole issue. you know. So in items where we physically check, we use our discretion. But again, because some of these products can mirror the original product so well that it becomes difficult to tell the difference, you know. So it becomes tough, actually, I mean, to sometimes distinguish. I mean, for example, medication, you don't know. It may look exactly the same. I mean, I've seen even things like Panadol where the original and this one, the drugs look the same, but there's a small error here and there, which if you're not informed, you will never look for those errors, you know. So I think consumer empowerment in this age becomes crucial. And like I mentioned earlier, we need to do more to help consumers make good decisions in terms of credible and you know, be very cautious when you buy something online or from non-so-credible sources. Because once the sale is done, then, you know, that's it. You can't get back, or you can't do more than that to get a redressal. It's just gone. So right at the point of sale, consumers need to be empowered to take the right action.
Have you heard of reports where consumers have had their health affected by fake goods after unwittingly purchasing and using them?
No, certainly. I mean, two of our biggest areas of health concern is products like slimming products, beautify products. Not only is it sometimes fake, but it also has a lot of health consequences. Sometimes the person suffers from all kind of other issues. So, I mean, one is the fake component. That means you're not getting the benefit you paid for. But sometimes it's also the health risks. Yeah. So we get quite a bit of complaints on that. Like, and quite a lot of these cases, we've even gone to tribunal. But so especially these products where you apply on your body or you take internally, you really need to be assured. And of course, these products are not regulated. So the burden quite falls quite a bit on consumers. And especially on products like this, I mean, we've even raised this issue with the Minister of Health. We need strong enforcement. You know, and a lot of Pasam alarms, you have all kind of products being sold. Sometimes even established slimming centers, they use medication which brings risk to the consumers. So one is the effectiveness of it. Second is, of course, the risk to consumers themselves in terms of the side effects or any other. So those, especially those products, but also other products that, you know, government needs to really look into in terms of making sure that consumers don't have access to this kind of products.
So you give advice here and there throughout this chat that we've had about how people can avoid accidentally buying fake goods. But if I could just ask you to sum up some of those points, what would your advice be on how the public can do so?
I think my main point is simply this, because the sophistication, I mean, if it's easy to tell the difference between a fake and an original good, then we just say, of course, you make the right choice. But has the difference becomes blurred, sometimes the fake looks very much like the original or even looks exactly like the original. So especially on online, but as also on offline, is to buy your products from credible and established sellers. That's the thing. And be careful, but buy from established sellers. Because I think there's very little way of... There may be a great risk in you trying to buy somewhere that's unregistered and trying to know the difference. So it's best to buy from credible and reliable sellers. That's the only advice you can give.
Okay, and then as a final note, if anyone comes across or suspects that a shop is selling fake goods, who should
complain,
they report?
I mean, if you complain and make a complaint, if it's health-related product, the Ministry of Health, and any other product, the Ministry of Domestic Trade. And we hope that, you know, we also pass complaints to the Ministry of Domestic Trade, that this kind of constant surveillance is ongoing, so that people do not become victims. So enforcement is crucial. Consumer education is crucial. That's my point.
Paul, thank you for those points and for that advice. That was Datuk Dr. Paul Selvaraj, CEO of FOMCA, or the Federation of Malaysian Consumers Association. We have the 7 p.m. news coming up. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.